Welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I watch movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week, I review 1995's Bad Boys. All right, Bad Boys, 1995. You know how I like to do it. I like to talk about how I saw this movie as a kid. A movie, this really is a movie I shouldn't have been watching as a child, you might say. But how I saw it was, I saw it on HBO, I believe. Was it HBO? I believe I saw it on HBO as a kid, like a year later. I remember that the first time I... Was it the first time I saw Bad Boys? I remember the first time I saw Bad Boys, I had a loose tooth that I was dealing with. And I was trying to pull the loose tooth out. And my dad was trying to pull the loose tooth out and all this stuff. And so that kind of distracted me from my first, you might say my initial viewing of Bad Boys. But anyway, yeah, that's how I saw it. My parents saw it. I remember my parents saw it in the theater. They didn't take me because they rarely took me to see rated R movies. I think the only rated R movie that my parents took me to see was Boomerang. And I think they regretted that and they never took me to go see a rated R movie ever again. You know? So they kept it G, PG, and PG-13 for me. That was my wheelhouse. But anyway, let's get into the movie. Not really gonna really like do like a whole review of the movie. You know, if you listen to the podcast, you know how a podcast goes. I don't have to explain the shit to you. Let's just do it. But anyway, like I noticed in the opening credits, like Will Smith, not Will Smith. I'm getting my black people mixed up. Martin Lawrence has the top billing. He gets top billing in the movie, and Will Smith gets second billing. I believe this is because Martin Lawrence was more of a bankable star at the time than Will Smith. Hard to believe, I know, right? Like weird times, right? But Martin Lawrence was more bankable than Will Smith. But Martin Lawrence had the sitcom. Will Smith had a sitcom too. But Martin Lawrence also had. He also proved he could be bankable because he had his comedy concert movie You So Crazy out at the time also. I believe that came out like a year before Bad Boys. So like he proved they could be bankable. You So Crazy made a lot of money. But Will Smith hadn't proved himself yet. I think the only two movies that he'd done before Bad Boys was a movie called Made in America with Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson. And he's barely in that movie. I want to say he's like background in that movie. And it's him and Nia Long are like best friends or something like that in that movie. And like, because Nia Long finds out that Ted Danson's her dad. And like, I'll go into that when we do a Made in America review, I guess. But that was one of the movies he did. And the other movie was, God dang it, I forgot the name of it right now. As I talk about it, I forgot the name of it. It's the movie where he kisses, I think, Anthony Michael Hall in it. Like, God dang, he plays gay in the movie. I forgot what the movie's called, but, and I can't, I seriously can't think of it. 8 Degrees, was it called 8 Degrees of Separation, or 6 Degrees, 6 Degrees of Separation, that's the name of the movie, 6 Degrees of Separation. He only did Made in America and 6 Degrees of Separation. Those are the only two movies that he's done, and I think he did another movie where he played like a kid in a wheelchair. And I can't think of the name of that movie either. But like he's in that movie, he plays like a kid in a wheelchair. I think he gets murdered in that movie. I don't quite remember. But he's in that movie. But all three of those movies pretty much tanked at the box office. They didn't do well. So like Will Smith wasn't quite bankable yet. Bad Boys is what made him bankable. So is that from the start of the movie, you can see the chemistry between Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. Martin Lawrence plays Sergeant Marcus Burnett, and Will Smith plays Sergeant Mike Lowry. They're both sergeants because I looked at their badges. I'm not going to say detectives. I looked at their badges. There's a part in the movie, fast forwarding, where Martin Lawrence's character, Marcus Burnett, shows his badge and it says Sergeant on it. So he is Sergeant Marcus Burnett. That's his name. From the start, these guys had chemistry. I heard that if you watch interviews with them for Martin Lawrence and Will Smith when they were promoting Bad Boys for Life. I also saw Bad Boys for Life. I loved it. Thought it was a great film. If you watch interviews with them, this was supposed to be a Martin Lawrence starring vehicle. Martin Lawrence was trying to find a partner to do the movie with, and it was Martin Lawrence's sister who suggested Will Smith. He said he had dinner with Will, they hit it off, and the rest is history at that point. So, and you can see it on the screen, and I love that. I love it when, you know, that actors have chemistry I've talked about this before with House Guests, with Sinbad and Phil Hartman. Those guys have chemistry, man. Those guys, you can tell those guys have chemistry on and off the set. Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan, Rush Hour, they have chemistry on and off the set. I'm trying to think of another movie that I remember. No, it was Money Talks. I remember I reviewed Money Talks like a couple months back, and I was talking about the chemistry between Chris Tucker and Charlie Sheen. I was like, you could tell that those guys did not have chemistry because the chemistry did not flow on set. You can tell, like, it didn't flow in the movie, pretty much. It didn't, like, the movie, you couldn't see the chemistry. It was all choppy. You could tell, like, probably Charlie Sheen got on Chris Tucker's fucking nerves. You know, you can tell. It just shows, the tension shows in the movie. But that's what I love. I love when the two stars of the movie have chemistry on and off set. And even when they do interviews, you can tell they got chemistry with each other. It's just fucking oozing out of the camera. It's oozing out of the screen. But anyway, you got that. And then you get to the bad guys. You get to the bad guys. The bad guys are something out of a Saturday morning cartoon. They really are. They are Saturday morning cartoon villains. I'm really surprised that they didn't make Bad Boys action figures so they could capitalize on these goddamn villains. You know, it's like they were fighting like Skeletor and his minions, or Shredder and Bebop and Rocksteady or some shit. Really, I was like, these are some real Saturday morning cartoon ass villains. They really are. I was like, man. But anyway, like, you get these villains. They're like breaking into the Miami PD precinct. There's a security guard there who farts and then gets stabbed in the neck. I don't know why that happens. I don't know why you had to have the security guard fart and then die. That was kind of weird to me. But Michael Bay, this is Michael Bay's first film also, so this is where the Bayism begins. We get that. We get all that stuff. They steal some heroin. I don't know much about drugs, but I thought they stole cocaine, but it was heroin. somebody stole their heroin. But anyway, we go back to Marcus's house. Marcus is trying to get some lovey love from his wife, played by Teresa Randall. And who could blame you? It's fucking Teresa Randall. Another movie where I get to talk about Teresa Randall. It's my moment to shine, people. It's my moment to shine. I talked about her in Space Jam. Now I get to talk about her in Bad Boys. oh my God, this woman is fucking beautiful. Like, that's all I got to say, man. Like, Teresa Randall is fucking beautiful. Like, and it's kind of a shame that she doesn't get as many roles as she used to. She's in Bad Boys for Life. That's like, and she's still fucking hot in Bad Boys for Life. And that's probably the last time you'll see her until Bad Boys 4, because she doesn't get a lot of roles, and it's a goddamn shame. But anyway, Marcus is trying to get ass from his wife, played by Teresa Randall, who is named Teresa. I guess they couldn't come up with a name for her, so they just named her Teresa. Mike Lowry shows up. Mike Lowry is ladies' man. He's like, because like it's like a dynamic between the two. Marcus Burnett's the family man. He's the man with the suburb home. He's got the wife and the three kids. He's settled down. Mike is the ladies' man. He loves to be a womanizer. He dresses flashy. We also find out that he's like a rich kid. Like, his parents left him some money. Still don't. They never explain what happened to Mike's family. They never explain what happened to Mike's parents in any of the movies. Even if you watch Bad Boys for Life, they don't explain what happened to his parents. I don't know if his parents like died in a car accident. I don't know if they were murdered. I don't know what happened to Mike Lowry's parents, but they left him money and they were rich. So he spends their money, that spends the money they left for them to buy like designer suits and fucking cars, or as Martin Lawrence says, it just looks like a shiny dick with two seats. That was a quote. I love that. I like this movie's still fucking funny. Like, it's still fucking hilarious. We got like two Cuban cops that they always crack on. A lot of people say that shit is like racist. I hear a lot of people like, why do they gotta crack on the two Cuban cops? That's racist. But I don't really give a shit. But anyway, we also get Joe Pantoliano as Captain Howard. It's fucking hilarious. He's just hilarious in all these movies. From 1 to 3, just Captain Howard is fucking hilarious. Joey Pants is the man. So like, they find out like somebody stole the heroin and all that shit. You know, I'm not gonna go into like a whole like big old essay about the movie, but anyway, like, so Burnett and Lowry have to find out who stole the heroin. Okay, like, they gotta find out who stole the heroin. And so Mike is talking to some girl to get some information. A girl named Maxie. I guess Maxie is a prostitute. Mike just willy-nilly knows prostitutes for some reason. I don't get it, I guess. And I think he's actually in love with this prostitute for some reason. I guess he tried the merchandise. I guess he tried the merchandise and it was good. I guess that's what happened. But oh yeah, another fun fact about this movie, that this movie was originally supposed to star Phil Hartman and John Lovitz. I believe Phil Hartman was supposed to be Mike Lowry, and John Lovitz was supposed to be Marcus Burnett. I don't know how that would have came out. Really, I don't know what that would have been. I can't really hear Phil Hartman saying Will Smith's lines. He was like, I like it up close and personal, baby. That's what I like to do. I don't like this marksman crap. And then John Lovitz saying stuff like, you forgot your boarding pass. I just don't see it. I'm glad they didn't go that route, because that movie wouldn't have made any fucking money. That would have been like some Saturday Night Live shit. Nothing against Saturday Night Live, but their movies don't do well. Anyway, so you got that. You get a little thing where Marcus makes fun of Mike for being rich and shit. And he's like, you just a rich kid playing cop and all this shit. But anyway, move on. Maxie just so happens to get her friend Julie mixed up with the bad guys, because Mike wants Maxie to get some information about the bad guys. Maxie gets killed. Like, by the main villain. The main villain shoots her, and he shoots this crooked cop that led them to the drugs. Pretty much, Julie sees it happen. She runs and she gets away. They go to the crime scene. Mike and Marcus go to the crime scene. Mike sees Maxie's dead body, and now he wants revenge. He wants revenge. Julie calls the precinct. She's asking for Mike. The captain answers. Marcus is there. Marcus has to pretend to be Mike now. So, because, like, if Julie doesn't speak to Mike Lowry, she's going to walk and she's just going to go get away and try to hide, I guess. I don't know where she thinks she was going. But anyway, so Marcus has to pretend to be Mike. So he goes to Julie's house. Pretends to be Mike Lowry, because I'm Mike Lowry. So, that was weird. But, I know. But it was, I guess. But anyway, so he pretends to be Mike. The bad guys show up at Julie's house, because they know where she lives. Marcus gets her out of there, shoots one of the bad guys in the process. Marcus takes Julie over to Mike's place. Mike is like gone from this movie for at least about a good 5 to 10 minutes of the movie. We don't see Mike Lowry because he goes to investigate something and he gets knocked out by one of the henchmen. So he's gone, and I pretty much think this was like some time to just give Mike to give Martin Lawrence time to do his Martin Lawrence shtick, because for a good about 10 minutes he does his little Martin Lawrence shtick, you know, like, I got this and, you know, bleed that and all that shit. He pretty much does his thing, but that's that. Mike gets to the precinct, finds out that Marcus has the witness in his house. The captain tells Mike and Marcus to switch places with each other to protect the witness. So Mike is now Marcus and Marcus is now Mike. I want to point out that Mike is low-key a fucking psychopath. Throughout all of these movies, he's a fucking psychopath, because they even talk about how many people Mike has killed. Like, he has a large body count. What makes me think that he just became a cop just to murder people. Pretty much. Like, did you become a cop just to murder people? I don't know. So they go to this club called Club Hell, because Julie identifies one of the henchmen as the same henchman, I believe, that knocked Mike out. When he went to go investigate the brothel. He went to go investigate a brothel, and then he got knocked out. But moving on. But so Marcus and Mike go to get this suspect at this club called Club of Hell, and they go and do that without fucking backup. I'm like, why would you go and arrest a suspect without fucking backup? Is mind-boggling to me. I don't know why they would do that shit, but they went to go do that. The bad guys know they're there. They know what they look like. You know, you're in a because the main bad guy rolls deep. I think his name is like Fouché, some French dude, and he rolls fucking deep. He's even in a VIP room. You know, you're not going to
get this guy. You know, I don't think they even had a warrant for his arrest. It's just very, very shitty cop work, pretty much. If there were real cops, they would be the shittiest cops ever. Because they went to go arrest this dude without... They went to go arrest this dude without backup. Julie shows up, too, and tries to kill the dude. And then they gotta run. And they end up killing the suspect that they gotta arrest. Anyway, he blows up in a fucking car while he's chasing him. So, like, that was that. I was like, that is the most... That is the shittiest police work I've ever seen. Really. Like, they're... They are. They're like, they should change this... Name of this movie from Bad Boys to Bad Cops. That's what they should call it. Bad Cops is what it should be. Anyway, they go back home. Julie is tempting Marcus with sex. Because I think she realizes that this is all a ruse. That Marcus is not Mike Lowry. She realizes this very quickly. I think she knew this from the start. That he was not Mike Lowry. She even tempts him with puts thoughts in his head that Mike is fucking his wife. So Marcus thinks that Mike is fucking his wife and all this shit. Very funny scene though. I like the scene. It's a very funny scene, still funny. They go and do a stakeout, but don't call backup. Again, they don't call for backup again. Like, they're doing a stakeout, like they're gonna fucking go and arrest the guy and shit, you know. And they don't go for back. They don't call for backup again. Like I said, the most shoddiest police work ever. The bad guy sees them, by the way. Like he sees them through binoculars. He's like, oh shit, okay, that's them. Follow them. So he has his crew follow them. But anyway, yeah, so like they're going down there like, oh yeah, we got all the shit we need. Now we gonna go over there and we gonna arrest these cats. And I'm like, dude, you're gonna go over there and arrest them, just the two of y'all? That's it? That's all y'all gonna do? By the way, while all of this is happening, Marcus's wife finds out that, because Marcus was supposed to be away in Cleveland on police business. That's why, that's the excuse he gave. His kids see him on TV. And so his wife goes to Mike's house and she sees Julie. And I this scene right here, I don't know, I'm gonna compose myself for a minute, because there was just too much pretty on screen. You know, because like, it was like Teresa Randall and Taya Leone, who plays Julie, were fighting to see who has the prettiest eyes, because they both have really pretty eyes. Teresa Randall has hazel eyes and Taya Leone has these icy blue eyes, you know. And it was like both of them are like fighting, like, oh, who has the prettiest eyes? It's like they could stare each other to death to see who has the prettiest eyes. I just wanted to point that out, that they both had like really pretty fucking eyes. But anyway, so Teresa Randall blows up Marcus and Mike's spot. She funny scene though. It's a funny little back and forth they got, because like Teresa Randall's character, who plays Marcus's wife, she thinks that Julie, Marcus, and Mike are having like a devil's three-way, pretty much, because like Marcus walks out with just the wife beater on, and Mike walks out with like his shirt open, and it was funny because he's like, you see me, I ain't got no shirt on. And then you see Mike, he half butt naked, and then you see the little white girl, so you think some freaky shit's going on here. It's fucking hilarious. I love it. I love that part.
So Julie leaves, and she just like, I've been tricked and all this shit. You guys are fucking crazy, and I'm not gonna deal with you guys anymore. But then the bad guys show up at Mike's house and shoot the fucking place up. They just shoot it up. They grab Julie. They got her. Marcus and Mike go running down the... We get the famous chase scene. We get the iconic Will Smith running scene where he's running down the street with his shirt open. It's the iconic scene that made him a fucking star, to be honest, you know, because even he was talking about that he didn't want to do that scene. He didn't even want to have his shirt open to do the scene, and he said that Michael Bay told him, I'm trying to make you a fucking star, damn it. That's what Michael Bay told him, and he made him a fucking star, because that's the scene that everybody remembers, and that's the scene that made him a fucking star. That's the scene that got him Independence Day the next year, pretty much. So that's that. Julie's been kidnapped. They didn't get her back. The bad guys talk about, like, we're gonna make the heroin drop and all this shit. And so Marcus and Mike gotta race against the clock. They gotta get Julie back, and they gotta get that heroin before they make that drop and make all this money or whatever the fuck. Once again, Mike and Marcus go in to a fucking drug bust without backup, just the two Cuban cops that they had with them. Just the two Cuban cops that they make fun of. It was just those four. That was it. It was just those four. They go and have like a big old fucking like gunfight, just the four of them against like maybe like, I want to say maybe like 50 guys. Four guys taking on 50 guys. I don't know what that was about. Like I said, they're the worst police officers ever. This would be reckless endangerment. They would have like a whole bunch of suspensions, and that precinct would probably be shut down, because like, hey, you got some shitty cops over there, sir. You got some shitty cops. So they go, the whole place blows up. Marcus, Mike, and Julie get out, but I didn't see the two Cuban cops get out. What are their names? Sanchez and Ruiz. Sanchez and Ruiz, I didn't see them get out of the building in time, so I'm guessing they died. I was like, did the two Cuban cops die? That's something I never thought of. I was like, did those two Cuban cops die? Because I didn't see them get out of the building, and they're not in Bad Boys 2. There's like two new Cuban cops in Bad Boys 2. So I'm guessing they're dead. Rest in peace to Sanchez and Ruiz. You served your city well, I guess. But anyway, long story short, they catch the bad guys, kill the bad guys, and do all that shit. That's Bad Boys. This was clearly supposed to be a starring vehicle for Martin Lawrence. This was supposed to be Martin Lawrence's star-making movie, pretty much, but it ended up making Will Smith. Martin Lawrence didn't do bad. He still had his sitcom, and he still went on to do a whole bunch of comedies where he's pretty much playing the same character, but still, he went on to do a whole bunch of other stuff, so like, he wasn't hurt for anything. Overall, I still enjoy this movie. It's fun. Childhood me gives it a 5. Adult me gives it a 5 also. Out of a 1 out of 5. Still an enjoyable movie. It's got a lot of rewatchable quality. I laughed at a lot of the jokes. They're still fucking funny. But that was Bad Boys. Join me again next week when I talk about another movie. Peace.